The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high five moment today? Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? It's estimated over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. To save, visit HealthLock.com today.
Murder Homes is a production of iHeart Podcasts. I've spoken with Ben Terry several times since asking him to recount the murder of Benny Ladd and his feelings about it. I've learned a lot about prison from him, in calls that are sometimes interrupted by lockdowns. I learned that the Missouri correctional system has banned books from all prisons because of some outside drug dealers smuggling in K2. They liquefy it on book pages where it can be reconstituted and smoked by those inside. I learned a little prison lingo too. Buck naked refers to the most basic meal a prisoner can eat, ramen with just a seasoning pack. Cadillac refers to coffee with cream and sugar. Chicken I'm afraid of refers to chow hall chicken Alfredo. And neutrons are those who aren't affiliated with any gang. I think there's a lot of people out there, myself included, who'd wonder how we'd fare just spending a week inside a max security prison like the one Ben's in. And I asked him if he could give me some general tips for those of us who are troubled by fears of being incarcerated and how we'd respond. The memory he'd had of hearing a man being raped, a prisoner who he'd just been playing spades with a few hours before, had stayed with me. So the first question I had was about sexual assault in prison and how to avoid it.
Ben, I'm not going to try to be funny, but, you know, if it was an attractive younger guy, what would that advice be?
Well, it would be choose your friends wisely and be wary of people who are kind.
So have you ever given anyone advice, you know, who seemed vulnerable about how to avoid that?
I have, actually. And well, the sad part about it is that in a place like this, you can stick up for somebody, but you only want to stick up for people who are willing to stick up for themselves. Because what happens is if they don't have a strong enough constitution to fight for themselves, then right. You can oftentimes end up getting in a wreck and getting hurt trying to defend someone who is willing to roll over rather than get hurt. And so recently, for whatever reason, there seems to be a perverse fascination with Asians in prison. So if you're an Asian guy, no matter how old you are, you're subject to be the target of what we call booty bandits. And so you need to be particularly on guard. Or if you're young and blonde or, you know, whatever the case may be. So
but what's the term? You know, as writers, like, terms are always important to me.
Oh, sure.
Booty pants.
No, a booty bandit. So
booty bandit. Okay. Booty bandits, which refers to the target, right?
No, a booty bandit refers to the man who's trying to get them. You know, get the other person's ass. To be quite frank. So.
And you said for whatever reason currently it's like if you're blonde or you're Asian, you're already have the cards stacked against you a little bit.
Absolutely. So, I mean, disclaimer for your readers, you know, prison is not a socially progressive place. So listeners be warned. So But so, you know, booty bandits, you know, typically they're black guys. I mean, there are white guys who are predatory as well, but typically booty bandits tend to be black guys and they gravitate towards younger white guys. It's a reality of prison and where we're at least in the, you know, in the Missouri's correctional system.
And then is, you said that you try to help someone and then they rolled over or did you get?
Yeah, I have. As a matter of fact, there was a guy and he wasn't particularly young. He had a vulnerable look about him and he tried to talk his way out of everything and be kind. And so I gave him advice and I even stood up for him once. And the particular guy who was interested in him had been down for almost 30 years at that point. And the kid didn't take my advice and he ended up getting in a knife fight. Well, it was a one-sided knife fight because he clearly didn't know it was coming right out in the middle of the wing. So he got partially scalped on top and cut up fairly good, but
did he survive?
Oh yeah, he survived. He actually did a pretty good job of defending himself in the moment, but and at the end of the day he got cut up because he was sending mixed signals to this guy who was after him.
And this guy wanted him sexually, I think is what you're saying, right?
Yes, he most certainly wanted him sexually. So
right, did and out of curiosity, what was the victim in prison for?
I believe he had some type of statutory sex case, so which sex cases are frowned upon in prison to start with. There's a whole hierarchy in prison, just like in an ecosystem outside, you have predators and prey, and, you know, humans being at the top apex predators, essentially, as far as nature is concerned. In prison, what you're there for is where you fall in that realm and what issues and situations you're subject to face. So, for instance, I'm serving first-degree murder, and so typically people don't mess with guys who have my kind of time or my kind of sentences.
Right, so, and then the lowest order would be statutory or child molested.
We'll be back after a short break. As you know, the world can be a dangerous and unpredictable place. With every case I've studied, I learned one thing. Your best line of defense is your vigilance and preparation. That's why I recommend SimpliSafe Home Security. Just this week, a neighbor across the street told me that at 8 in the morning, he had seen three men run down the block and beat and rob a man who was carrying a bag of tools. I always think of this as a safe neighborhood, but I have to admit, I don't have that feeling 100% of the time. That's why I feel a little bit more at peace knowing that SimpliSafe, with its entry sensor, motion detectors, and cameras, is always on the lookout for me. SimpliSafe was named Best Home Security Systems 2024 by the U.S. News & World Report. And it's backed by 24/7 professional monitoring for less than $1 a day. Get 20% off any SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect Monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/homes. That's simplisafe.com/homes. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
High Five Casino. High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
There's a lot happening these days. But I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters, without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
We're back with Murder Homes.
One rule I have is don't own anything you can't afford to lose. So, like, you have to decide what kind of person you're going to be and how you're going to do your time. And so if you're not willing to fight for yourself or to fight for, say, people like you buy a sweatshirt off the canteen because the state allotment of clothes isn't really enough to keep you warm in the wintertime, et cetera. So don't buy the sweatshirt if you're one of those people who if somebody might try to steal it from you, or whether sneak thief or outright, and if you're not willing to fight for it, then you better not buy it. Because what happens is, if you're not willing to fight for it and somebody takes something from you and you don't do anything about it, then that tends to embolden others who maybe aren't typically would leave you alone, but they see easy prey. So it's very much like once somebody's wounded, you know, the rest of the pack will tend to move in. So,
I think I want to ask something quick, like imagining what I would have to do in prison as Matt, you know, is that I'd have to show that I was willing to punch someone, or is that not true?
It's not true. So it's a fallacy. Not everybody that comes to prison has to fight in order to live a relatively quiet or peaceful life. What determines it mostly is, A, like I said, what kind of crime you come in with is going to impact what kind of troubles you face. But the other side of it is if you're just consistently you, and you mind your own business, you tend not to have a lot of problems. So, like, I haven't had to lay a hand on anyone in 19 years. But I systematically weighed my decisions and my choices and the things I did against, hey, what am I willing to fight over? Which actually stems from a piece of advice that I got not long after an old timer pulled up on me on the way back from chow. And I'd been in prison for about a month or two at that point. And I was still walking around my guns cocked, just waiting for something to happen, because the place they sent me to, it was the worst of the worst at the time. And he looks at me and he says, "You get a lot of time, don't you, kid?" And I said, "Yeah, why?" He said, "I can just tell." He said, "You just remember this." He said, "If it's not worth dying over, it's not worth fighting over." Prison is not all, you know, rapists and thugs and criminals. It's largely consists of normal, everyday people who had a bad day, took a left turn when they should have took a right, fell off into drugs, had a traumatic event, and they didn't handle it well. They didn't have the tools to handle it well. And I tell you what, you wouldn't think it, but I have better friends now after being locked up for 20 years than I ever could have imagined having on the street. Because in prison, there's no secrets. Who you are is going to come out sooner or later. You can't put on a show forever because we're piled in on top of each other like cordwood.
Sure. Can you tell me a little bit about how you handled your over-talkative ex-cellmate? Because I believe you told me you put him on a do-not-talk restriction. I think our listeners would like to know how a do-not-talk restriction works in a cell.
Okay. Well, it sounds pretty harsh on the start, like I'm some type of tough guy, which is not the case at all. But, you know, there's two ways that essentially that can happen. There's one is physical intimidation. So it's like, stop talking, you know, or I'm gonna beat you to a pulp, which is the form that some people, you know, rely on and use because they don't know how to communicate otherwise, which is probably why they're in prison. So the other side of it is diplomacy. So you try to appeal to the other person's empathy. And typically talkers do happen to know that they are talkers. So that helps some if you get self-awareness going. But so my previous cellie's name was Roger. And so I would come in from work and he'd immediately, like he was starved for conversation, or at least one-sided conversation. He'd immediately begin talking and regale me with all the stories of what happened that day.
This call is from a correctional facility and may be monitored and recorded.
Thanks, Karen. So what happened that day in the wing or in the cell or when he was making a soup or just some of the most just mundane and mind-numbing quotidian things you could imagine. Or something that reminded him of growing up when he was a kid with his brothers. And I'm very much an introvert, and so I require a lot of recharging time in order to deal with people. And so eventually I had to explain to him and say, "Roger, I need you to not talk to me for at least 30 minutes when I get back from work, so that way I can decompress." "Oh, okay, I'm sorry." "No, don't be sorry. Just be quiet." And usually that would work for a while, but then, you know, he'd forget after a time because he just had so many other things to think of that he wanted to say, apparently. And so I adopted the phrase, "Roger, you're killing me."
And which I've told you, which I now use because I'm a chatty guy during the day, and my girlfriend now uses that as the safe phrase for me to be quiet. I'm serious.
It's been used a handful of times already. So it worked out pretty well then with him, or?
It did. He was very accommodating of my eccentricities, and I tried to be the same for him. I did give him some time to, that he could cut loose and get whatever it is off of his chest. But he was truly a good-natured guy. He was a decent fella, and he was a little too chatty for my taste. So,
can you tell me about your worst cellmate?
Oh, my worst cellmate?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Well, it's kind of a toss-up. One in particular, he was just a very small-minded and very violent kind of guy. He basically grew up in prison, so in and out over the years. He'd done time in many different states and everything else, and he suffered from what you'd call arrested development. So he was about 17, going on 45, and I was fairly fresh into the bit. And I'm kind of an anomaly in the fact I'm a pretty good sized fella, so, and pretty well built. So most people are discouraged from trying me to start with, but I try to be a pretty laid back and easygoing guy. And so sometimes people mistake that for being soft or being weak or whatever the case may be. And so one day he asked me out of the blue, he says, "What would you do if I just walked over there and slapped you in the face right now?" And I was reading a book, and we were in one of those cells where it's general population, so you're locked down 22 and a half hours a day in the cell with the other guy. And I looked up at him. I said, "I'd probably sit here and calculate different ways to kill you in your sleep without getting caught." And I went back to reading my book. And he didn't know what to do with that information, because when you say I'm going to kill you, or you give them the impression that you'll consider it, those can be immediate fighting words, because then you're locked in a box with somebody who's already there for killing somebody, and you've made them mad enough to think about killing you, at least in your mind. But we'd been in the cell long enough, he knew that that's not really how I operate, but the response he was hoping to get wasn't the response that he got. And so it didn't take long, and he decided that we weren't good cellies anymore after that, so, because he wanted somebody he could push around. You know, I rely a lot on sarcasm. It's kind of like oxygen for me. And so that was one of those moments where God was definitely with me and helped the other side to, you know, realize that it wasn't that serious. But I think it definitely cast a shadow of doubt in his mind, at least, about how far he could push the situation with me.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Let me ask you one quick question, which is romance in prison, like with pen pals. I think in the essay you wrote, it was very interesting because it talked about how it's a two-way kind of thing. And for the listeners, I was just wanted a glimpse of how that works.
Sure. For guys in prison who are seeking, you know, a pen pal as a, it's a hustle for them, and at least in part. And so they're looking for someone to write them letters, someone to answer the phone, someone to put money on their books. So they tend to look for girls who have low self-esteem. So either maybe one that's not very pretty or is overweight or, you know, whatever that individual's perceived flaw might be. And it's funny because it works both ways. There's also, you know, women who will send their picture or say they'll come to visit, but they always come up with some type of excuse or something like that. A lot of times it could be a matter of, well, they're having essentially an emotional affair, because the one thing that you get with a guy who's locked up, if he's looking for a pen pal, is he's going to write you because he's got time to write you, and he's going to validate your feelings. He's going to hear you out and offer you good advice. And so maybe a lot of the things you might be missing in the relationship with your husband or your boyfriend or whoever the case may be. So
like a good listener.
Right. Yeah, great listener. So, it's an interesting dynamic. As a matter of fact, I've had a few female pen pals over the years. Most of them, usually, they're kind of like shooting stars. They burn out after a few weeks or a few months. I've had a few ex-girlfriends reach out over the years, just, you know, curiosity, got their cat. But
yeah.
I've had one friend in particular. So I met her. She was actually incarcerated, and my cellmate was writing her cellmate. And so she had wanted someone to write, so I thought, all right, why not? And so I wrote her, and the first letter was just a load of laughs. And every letter after that, we just continued to make each other laugh. And so she got out after just a few years, and she was serving a charge for a drug sentence. And she sent me a picture and a phone number, and we just continued in our friendship. But we were very clear in the beginning, you know, it's like, hey, you know what kind of time I got, so this can't ever really go anywhere beyond just a good friendship. And so that's what we've developed over the years.
I thank Ben for the time he'd spent trying to give me some idea of what it's like being at Jefferson City Correctional Center. If you'd like to correspond with Ben Terry, he can be reached at the Jefferson City Correctional Center, 8200 No More Victims Road, Jefferson City, Missouri, 65101. His inmate number, which you have to put on the envelope, is 114-2558. If you're interested in learning more about sentencing reform or prisoner rights, more information is available at the Human Rights Defense Center. You can go to humanrightsdefensecenter.org, one word. Thanks for listening to this bonus content for Murder Homes Season 2. I'm Matt Marinovich. For early access to bonus content and episodes, you can subscribe to True Crime Plus on Apple Podcasts. Murder Homes is created by and executive produced by Matt Marinovich. Executive producers are Jennifer Bassett and Taylor Chacoin. Story editor is Jennifer Bassett. Supervising producer is Carl Cadle. Producer is Evan Tyre. Sound design by Taylor Chacoin, Evan Tyre, and Carl Cadle. Special thanks to Ali Perry and Nikki Ator. Murder Homes is a production of iHeart Podcasts. For more shows from iHeart Podcasts, visit the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
High Five Casino.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Your new home journey starts at Fisher Homes, where everything is red, white, and new. Explore exclusive summer savings and start your journey by selecting your ideal home site and your dream community. Choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans and bring your style to life at the Lifestyle Design Center. Are you looking for a quick move-in ready home instead? Fisher Homes has options for those too. Fill out a form to connect with a new home advisor at fisherhomes.com to get started today before the sun sets on summer savings.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.